Well, brethren, is it a bridge or a wall? Which one are we building? You know, walls are built oftentimes to keep people out, or sometimes they're built to keep people in. You know, they're to keep us separated oftentimes. Walls are built to keep us separated. Building a wall is not usually some great engineering marvel. Now, there are some walls that may be, the Great Wall of China, but some of those. But building a wall usually it is not a great engineering marvel. You know, you and I can build one. You know, and if I can build something, it can't be a marvel. You know, we can take a couple of 2x4s and a couple sheets of plywood and build a wall. It's a fairly simple thing. A bridge, on the other hand, takes a bit more thought, doesn't it? It takes a bit more thought to build a bridge. Now, there are some simple bridges that can be built, but, you know, you can take a couple of I-beams, and if you have a small little creek or something, you can build a bridge across something. But oftentimes, bridges are really engineering marvels, aren't they? We've driven over some fascinating bridges that have, you know, just cables and big steel rods running in various directions. Go down to Pittsburgh, or you go down the Ohio River and look at some of the bridges that are built there. You know, I've driven over a bridge in Florida that's just miles and miles long, that is built in a swampy area, keeps you above the swamp and the water. And I just always wonder how they get that foundation under it so that they don't sink, you know, into the ocean. Bridges are fascinating. I know that I've had the opportunity a couple times to drive over a bridge in the corner of Nevada, near the California border, the corner of Nevada and Arizona, that runs over the Colorado River. And it's just a fascinating bridge. Cables, wires running everywhere. And I read some things on how they built that, and they built it from one side and from the other side, and it's way above the water. It's right by Hoover Dam. It's way above the water, and they built it from one side and then the other side, and they cabled it off, and then they built it together so that it kind of leans on itself. And it's just fascinating the way that bridge is. It's amazing how it's built and how it was built. You know, a bridge, it can be a fascinating thing to see built, can't it? Great deal of thought and a great deal of effort goes into building a bridge, much more so than a wall. God is a bridge builder. You ever think about that? God is a bridge builder. He's building a bridge to the future. He's building a bridge to the future. Romans chapter 5. Let's turn to the book of Romans. God is a bridge builder. Book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Romans 5 and verse 6. God is a bridge builder. He's building a bridge. Romans 5, verse 6 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." God has built a bridge for us. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." You know, not very often that we'll do that. "Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die." Sometimes that happens. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So God is a bridge builder. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only, verse 11, that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. God has built a bridge for us, hasn't he? God has built a bridge. Verse 6 says, when we were without strength, God built a bridge to us, verse 11, through whom we now have received reconciliation. We've been reconciled through Christ's sacrifice. God has built a bridge for us while we were without strength. You know, verse 6 says, while we were without strength and while we were yet in our sins, while we were sinners, verse 8, God built that bridge for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, God built a bridge for us. Jesus Christ is that bridge. God is a bridge builder, building bridges, not walls. He doesn't build a wall for us, he built a bridge. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in that process of building a bridge, 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being one, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So God has built a bridge for us, and he has put us in a body. He has put you and I in the body. Verse 13 says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. We all have that same one Spirit. Verse 14 is an important, small, short verse. It says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So we are in one body, but we have many members. We're placed in the body where Christ, where God sees fit. We're placed in the body. That's an important point for us to think about, is that we are placed in the body. God is building a bridge, and he has put us in the body. The body is not one member, but many. Many members. So we can go on down, and Paul gives here an analogy, and he talks about, you know, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No, it's of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not the eye, not an eye, am I not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set, verse 18, many set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. So God has put us in the body where he sees fit. Not necessarily where we would choose. Sometimes we look at that, not necessarily where we would choose, is it? We look at that, I've often said, you know, it's an honor and a privilege to serve God and his people, my brethren, you and I, you, brethren, as an elder. But it's not necessarily one that I would have chosen for myself. God put us in the body, verse 18, just as he pleased. It's a very important thing to understand. For us, is that God puts us where he wants us to be. you know, being in positions of responsibility, you know, is a huge and sometimes heavy responsibility for us. But we all have huge and sometimes heavy responsibilities, don't we? We all do, don't we? And verse 18 says, God puts us where He sees fit, where He wants us to be in the body. Sometimes we may not feel up to the task. You know, and if we rely on ourselves, oftentimes we won't be up to the task. But we might ask ourselves the question, am I a bridge builder? Am I a bridge builder? Do I build bridges with others? Specifically, do we build bridges with one another? Do we build? You know, we opened up talking about building a bridge. Do we build bridges with one another? I might note that much of the material that I have today is from a seminar that was given at the Winter Family Weekend in Louisville about a month ago, and I think I promised all of you that at some point I would go over some of that material. Seems like every year when we go down there, and I hope that more and more of us can go down there for those. Those are very helpful seminars and just a wonderful weekend for those who were there to be together and to enjoy time and fellowship together with the greater family of God. And oftentimes we receive seminars and information that I try to share with you as I can. And so I thought today that I would share this seminar with you. So a lot of this material that I have came from a seminar given by Mr. Blackwell, Mike Blackwell. Some of you may know Mr. Blackwell. He pastors the Church of God in Missouri, in the Missouri area. I think maybe northern Arkansas as well, or he did. As well, and a longtime minister, and so he gave a seminar. He gave us 5 points to help develop positive relationships, and he intertwined and talked about being bridge builders, about building bridges between one another. So I thought it would be beneficial. Certainly, was a very beneficial message for me as I thought and tried to apply it to myself. And so I thought it would be beneficial for me to pass that along to you. His comment was that we need to build bridges and not walls. We need to build bridges with one another and not walls. So the first point is that he addressed was simply humility. Humility. Simply put, we can put our name there. I'll just put my name there. I have to be more humble. I have to be humble or more humble when it comes to building a bridge, building a relationship, building our relationships with one another. We need to be humble and to have humility. Now, humility is an attitude, isn't it? It's an attitude. An attitude of humility is foreign to the carnal mind. You know, we can see that in our places of business, our workplaces. We see that in our schools. People are all oftentimes about themselves. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along today. But people are all oftentimes about themselves. We see that at this time of year, and it seems like every 4 years get to be more and more discouraging almost when we go through our political process in this country. We see that in our politicians. We see them We see people who take advantage of the system. We see politicians who do things because they think they're invincible sometimes. They think they can get away with anything. They're not. When they're called, really, our calling is to humbly serve one another. So an attitude of humility is foreign to the carnal mind. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 in verse 3. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 says, let nothing. Now that's a tall word there, isn't it? Absolutely nothing. Very difficult for us to do that as human beings. Let absolutely nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Now that's, again, we read this, sometimes we may gloss over this, because we read it often. You know, we read it in regards to the subject of humility, of being humble. We read, but you know, the NIV, the New International Version, says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. In humility, you know. So we're to have absolutely nothing that is to be done through, as Paul said here, selfish ambition. Now that's very difficult. That is a heavy responsibility. We talk about heavy responsibilities. That can be a heavy responsibility, to let nothing be done through selfish ambition. So I need to ask myself, you know, is this, you know, the things, the interactions that we have with one another, the things we do with one another, or the things that we do in our lives, we have to ask ourselves, is this purely for the benefit of someone, or is there some selfish ambition or maybe vain conceit in the things that we do? And if we admit it to ourselves, we probably have to admit that oftentimes we do things as human beings that have an ultimate selfish motive. Now, I'm not talking, of course, about improving our skills and a variety of things of that nature, but I'm talking about in terms of how we interact with one another, how we are building bridges with one another, how we interact with one another. You know, do we do those things, or can we do those things, or can we learn to do those things without selfish ambition? That it doesn't have some motive for ourselves, to lift ourselves up, or whatever the case may be, or benefit ourselves. Verse 4 says, let each of you look out not only for your own interests. So I always think it's interesting there that Paul said not only. That yes, we do look out for our own interests, don't we? You know, we do, because we have to sometimes make food and put it on the table, and we don't always do that. We don't do that just for the benefit of others, because oftentimes we're hungry too, aren't we? And it's for our benefit too that we get to eat and to sustain ourselves, just using that as an example. But we also do it for the interests of others, don't we? So Paul said, let each of you look not only for your own interests, so we do look out for our own interests, but also for the interests of others. But again, that's a different concept there than selfish ambition or vain conceit, that we look out for our interests, that we make sure that we have our sustenance taken care of as well, but also look out for the interests of others. And then verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then we can read on. I won't read on through there for right now, but you can read on, and we can certainly make a study of that sometimes, of, you know, the mind of Jesus Christ. You know, we can go back and you know, Mr. Roop in the sermonette mentioned that Passover. I seem to have a little bug in my throat here. Mr. Roop mentioned that the Passover is coming. It's late January. And we have a few months before the Passover is here, but it's something that, you know, we need to begin to think about, and we'll think about more and talk about more in the next month or two or three leading up to the Passover. And we'll read John chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and go through, and it talks a lot and reflects a lot on the mind of Jesus Christ and how he thought. And Paul here said, let that mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so we need to do that when we deal with one another, don't we? We need to have that ability to deal with one another in humility. You know, humility is a realistic view of ourselves, and it's focused on others. So we need an attitude of humility in dealing with our spouse, with our husbands and our wives, in dealing with our children, in dealing with our parents. We need to look out for the welfare of others, in dealing with our spiritual family, in dealing with one another. So humility is a very important aspect. Understanding and having a realistic view of ourselves, and make sure that we let each of you, as Paul said, that we each look out not only for our own interests, but also for the interests of others, and to have the mind, the humble mind of Jesus Christ in us as we deal with one another. So point number one is humility. Point number two in building a bridge in to help us develop positive relationships is to be a friend. Be a friend. No, and we do. And I always know that when I give a message like this, you know, I am, so to speak, preaching to the choir, preaching to, and teaching and encouraging us, because all of us are already making efforts to do these things. So oftentimes these things are more of a reminder, more of a help in that way, to encourage us to continue to do these things. But be a friend. Point number two, be a friend. John chapter 15, I always think this is, and I just talked about John and the mind of Jesus Christ here, and we'll read a little bit about that. I often think this is an amazing thing when you think about it. John chapter 15 and verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And we know that Jesus Christ gave his life. We talked about that in Romans and in the book of 1 Corinthians, that Jesus Christ gave his life for us. He gave his life, didn't he? Sacrificed his life for us. Greater love has no one than this, that the one to lay down one's life for his friends. We do that for one another, don't we? We give our lives, sacrifice our lives for one another. We give and help one another and try to encourage one another and make phone calls to one another. Christ said, verse 14, you are my friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So Christ laid down his life for us, and he called us, you and I, his friends. His friends. So Christ is our friend. You know, friendship has to do with giving of ourselves, as we read there in verse 13. So we need to be proactive in being a friend, don't we? We need to be proactive. We need to reach out in the spirit of friendship, to reach out to one another. here in this room, or whether, again, we're in part of a larger group when we get together for the spring feasts or get together for activities like Winter Family Weekend and other activities that we get together for. I mean, to reach out in the spirit of friendship and look for positive things in one another. It's an important factor in developing a spirit of friendship, is to look at the positive things in one another. You know, all of us have negative things. All of us have things I'm sure I do, have things that irritate some of you maybe. And I have things and all of us do. But we need to look at the positive things and reach out in a spirit of friendship. You know, I've often told my kids over the years, you know, sometimes I'll suggest they do something or go somewhere, do an activity, and they'll make a statement like, well, I don't have any friends there. I'm looking at them and they're not smiling. So, well, one of them is. But I always tell them, how are you going to make friends? You know, you think somebody's going to call you up and say, hey, can I be your friend? Now, I know they have Facebook now and they friend each other and things. But, you know, sometimes we go places, we do things, and I'm not talking just to them now, I'm talking to all of us. Sometimes we go places, we do things, we can reach out, be proactive, make friends. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, be a friend to one another. I think it's been one of the wonderful blessings over the years of being in the church. Mr. Roop mentioned that he's had the opportunities to travel in various parts of the world, and how, you know, we're just average, same kind of people all over the world. It is an amazing thing sometimes when you travel internationally and you hear a sermon in Spanish and it is the same message, but it's in Spanish. God is inspired by God, and they're God's people, just like you and I are. We get to know one another, and so we've made friends with people in various parts of the country and world. We have God's Spirit in common. So it's an amazing and wonderful blessing and a wonderful thing to have that and to be able to be friends. And we've made many friends over the years from various places. We don't see them often, but occasionally we'll see them at an event or an activity, and you catch up, you try to get some dinner or something, and you catch up. It's a wonderful thing to have friends like that, and to reach out and to have friends like that. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24 says, a man who has friends must first, what? Himself be friendly. Himself be friendly. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So if we want to have friends, we sometimes need to be the ones that reach out to make that friendship, to begin that friendship. Oftentimes, we can sit and wait for someone to come to us to be a friend. And sometimes friendships may be inhibited, may not happen, because someone may be sitting in this corner of the room and somebody may be sitting in this corner of the room, and they want to be friends, or they could be friends, but neither one of them will put forth maybe the effort, or maybe they're, for whatever reason, maybe uncomfortable, shyness, bashfulness, whatever it may be, they don't reach out to one another. So it's important that we, as the proverb here said, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, that we be and learn to be friendly. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17, just a page over. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. Friendship requires an outward focus. An outward focus. And as we go through this message, and as I was listening to Mr. Blackwell give the message and taking my notes, that it was an overwhelming theme is the outward, not the inward, not selfish ambition as we read, or the inward. It's an outward expression. That we're outward with it. Proverbs 17:17 says, A friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. I think all of us probably have friends that we can go to. It's a very important thing for us to be friends with one another. Go to people with one another. We know that there are going to be some difficult times ahead. Had a conversation with someone recently about this. That there are going to be some difficult times ahead. That the Bible has prophesied that we look forward to the time beyond that. We look forward to the return of Jesus Christ and the ushering in of the millennium and that chapter of the kingdom of God. We look forward to becoming spirit beings, perfect, perfected, as we read about in Matthew chapter 6. We look forward to that, but we also know that in between here and there, there are going to be some difficult times. The Bible has prophesied that there are going to be some difficult times for us. A time, as it talks about in Matthew chapter 24, such as never was. And I think it's going to be very important for us to be friends, to have friends, to be together, to be able to hold each other up and support one another. So be a friend and be friendly, as we read there in Proverbs chapter 18. Point number three, in developing positive relationships and helping us to develop positive relationships. First, seek to understand before pushing your point of view. That can be a point that we use in any relationship that we have, marriage, in our marital relationships, in our marriage, in our relationships with children and parents, family relationships. Relationships with the greater family. First, seek to understand before pushing your point of view. Now, it means I have to listen, doesn't it? Again, I use the word I there. We can put our name in there. I'll put my name there. I'm not going to point the finger here and say that you have to listen. I'm going to say that I have to listen. And you can put your name there. That we have to listen to one another in order to be able to do that. You know, Stephen Covey in his book, this is a point that he made. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Oftentimes, we want to be understood in our relationships and in our conversations. We want to be understood, but sometimes we don't want to even understand. Sometimes we don't want to understand. So we need to seek first to understand before pushing our point of view. James chapter 1. In verse 19, James chapter 1, in verse 19, very important instruction that James gave us here in relationship and how we build positive relationships with one another. James 1, verse 19 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man and woman be swift to hear." Now, again, that is a difficult thing for us to do oftentimes. Unless you're very different than I am, so many times I'm more focused, and it's something I've had to work on. I'm more focused on how I'm going to respond to something than I am in truly trying to listen to what someone is saying to me. But James said, be swift to hear. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So James gave us a very important instruction there to make sure that our first priority needs to be to listen and then slow to speak, in a thought-out way, respond. Very important instructions. So there are a couple of points to understand in regards to this point. A, that I have, that Again, this is material that came from Mr. Blackwell. To understand a point of view doesn't mean always agreeing with that point of view. I think that's a very important thing to consider. And I've had to consider that. To understand a point of view doesn't mean always agreeing with that point of view. So many times we try to jam our point of view down somebody's throat. But just because we have a point of view doesn't mean that we always have to agree with that point of view. I thought that was a very important point. Point number two, a person only interested in talking about themselves will eventually only be talking to themselves. Thought that was an interesting point as well. A person only interested in talking about themselves will eventually only be talking to themselves. Because after a while, people don't want to hear about it, do they? And then number three, a third point, you might be an ABC here, point C. We have to learn to disagree without being disagreeable. Now, I had a supervisor one time. He wasn't my supervisor, but he was a supervisor in an organization that I worked at. He used to make that point frequently, that we have to learn to disagree. Sometimes we can have a relationship with someone and we don't agree on things. One of the things that we see that's so destructive in our country, I feel, today is this vast disagreement we have, and it just is stalls any accomplishment that we have in the leadership of our country. And they're so disagreeable, and they just disagree, and they're disagreeable. They can't accomplish anything. Oftentimes, as friends, brethren, and as brethren, we don't have the same point of view. I'm not talking scripturally here, in terms we can't disagree with scripture. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just life. Sometimes we disagree with one another. We have points of view that are different. And we can disagree without being disagreeable. We can still remain friends and respect one another's positions on that. So we have to learn to do that. And that'll help us to seek to understand before pushing our point of view. And pushing our point of view is something that we oftentimes do. So that can be very helpful to us, brethren, in helping us to develop positive relationships with one another. Point number four, and there are 5 points. Point number four, be careful to neither take nor cause offense. I think most, or many anyway, issues in the church today is because people get offended. We get offended. We have hurt feelings. And that happens. Sometimes it happens. You know, people offended, one of the biggest problems in the church and in our culture today, that we get offended. And offense can be deadly on Christian relationships. When we get offended with one another, it can be a very disruptive and difficult thing. Psalm chapter 119, Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, 165. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have those who keep your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. The King James Version there says, nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Now, that is, of course, a cause to stumble or cause to not continue in God's way, but we cannot allow offenses to let that happen, can we? That we need to be careful to not allow ourselves to be too easily offended, because we can sometimes allow ourselves to be too easily offended. And we need to be careful not to offend others. Sometimes I do probably offend others, and I know I have. I've had people tell me that over the years, and I've had to apologize. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 4. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. Let me go to 1 Peter chapter 3. I might have written down 2 Peter, but it might be in 1 Peter chapter 3. It is 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 7 is the one that I really wanted. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them with understanding." Now, I wanted to make a principal point here. This is 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. It's a principal point I wanted to make. And that is that we need to, our relationships, now this is specifically talking about a marital relationship and in 1 Peter chapter 3, submission to husbands, and verse 1 starts out, "Likewise, you wives," and then verse 7, it talks about the husbands. But I want to talk about the principle here of dwelling with one another with understanding. You know, you and I are from different backgrounds, different places. Some of us have lived here all of our lives. Some have not. Some, you know, are from the city, grew up in the city. Some are from the country. We all have differences and different backgrounds. And so we need to be understanding of one another's backgrounds, the understanding of one another, and dwell with one another with understanding, with that understanding, knowing that there are differences. Often, my opinion is that oftentimes a lack, oftentimes offenses come and are caused by a lack of understanding. A lack of understanding. You know, I offend people sometimes, and I have over the years, and people have brought those things to my attention over the years. And more often than not, it was because of a misunderstanding. That what I did to offend them, or what I might have said to offend someone, was not at all taken in the way that I meant it. More often than not, I think it's just a lack, we're offended because it's a lack of understanding. None of us, I don't think in this room, would intentionally want to offend one another, would we? So we don't intend to, and we need to give ourselves and give each other the benefit of that doubt and realize that we don't intentionally offend one another, and it's oftentimes a lack of understanding, of not really understanding what that person was doing or saying. Sometimes we have things on our mind. Sometimes we may be thinking about something, or there may be a conversation that we had about something, and someone says something to us and we don't respond in a proper or the right way or the way that we should, and it might offend that person. Or we might be offended by that. But, you know, it really was not intended that way at all. So we need to learn, brethren, to give one another the benefit of the doubt and not to read into things that are not intended to be offensive, that are not intended to offend. And none of us, I feel comfortable in saying this, none of us intend to offend one another, do we? We just don't. So, you know, we need to be careful to neither take nor cause offense with one another. It's an important part, an important point in developing positive relationships with one another. Point number five, final point for today, we need to learn to be an encourager and not a criticizer. Learn to be an encourager and not a criticizer. So oftentimes, I'll put myself in that place again, I will see something that I point out, and I become critical. And oftentimes there are ways to bring out things that are not critical. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. We don't intend them to be critical, but, you know, it's what comes to our mind right away, and so out it comes out of our mouth in a critical fashion, of being critical to one another. But we need to be encouragers. Learn to be encouragers and not criticizers. And oftentimes, we can accomplish the same thing in a much softer and better way than to overtly just criticize. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, Paul said here, but exhort one another daily. Now, the word here is translated exhort. In my margin, it has a note that says encourage. Encourage one another daily. Daily. So we need to, in order to do that, if we're going to encourage one another daily, now of course, we can't all of us communicate every day, but we can communicate from time to time, and there are times when we do, there are times in certain ones of us, in our families, that we can exhort or encourage daily, can't we? We can do that. You know, husbands and wives can encourage one another. You know, wives long for encouragement. Our wives do. Our wives long for encouragement. You know, as men, as husbands, let's learn to give it to them. Let's learn to encourage one another. Let's learn to give encouragement. Now, let's look for positive attributes in one another. So as Paul said here, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So let's learn to encourage one another daily. Let's learn to be encouragers. You know, we don't do things for accolades, do we? We don't help one another for accolades or for attaboys, for someone to pat us on the back. We don't, you know, do things so someone says, good job. But you know what, brethren? All of us, I think, every one of us is encouraged when someone says, good job, or thank you, or notices some particular thing that you do. Again, don't do it that we do, that we don't do it to be seen. We don't do it so that someone says something, but it is encouraging when someone does. So let's learn to focus on being encouraged. Focus on that. If I gave us a challenge this week, all of us, a kind of a to-do list, it would be, let's focus on doing something encouraging for someone every day this week. Let's practice here, as it says in Hebrews chapter 13 and chapter 3 and verse 13, and exhort or encourage one another daily. Let's take it upon ourselves this week to every day whether you want to pick out your husband, your children, or both. Or someone every day to encourage them. To make that a practice, to make that a habit. You know, maybe for the next 21 days. I've learned and I've read over the years that in 21 days, things become habits. So if you practice something, you know, in 21 days, it takes kind of 21 days for it to be a habit. That's why they talk sometimes about people who quit smoking. If they can do it for 21 days, it can become a habit for them to not smoke. So let's take that challenge upon ourselves to become habitual encouragers and to reach out and encourage someone every day. Let's learn and focus on doing that. Brethren, Ephesians chapter 4, as we wrap up here, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's be and let's learn to be bridge builders. Now let's have the humility that we need to have, to do so humbly, be friends with one another, seek first to understand before pushing our point of view, be careful to neither take nor cause offense, and learn to be an encourager and not a criticizer. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Ephesians 4 verse 14 says that we should no longer be tossed, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. You know, we read in Romans about Jesus Christ sacrificing himself for us. And we read in 1 Corinthians that we are, that God puts us where he sees fit. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men, in cunning craftiness by which they lie and wait to deceive. Speak the truth. We should be able to communicate with one another, speak the truth with one another. But in love, in love. Sometimes we can do that harshly. We can talk harshly to one another. Paul said here that we need to, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. So let's consider these points. Let's consider humility and being friends and seeking first to understand and seeking not to offend nor to be offended and encouraging one another. Let's consider these points. Let's be about building a bridge, so that, in verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. We all supply, don't we? All of us supply a joint. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth for the body, for the edifying of itself in love. Brethren, let's be about building bridges.